Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 4, verses 8 to 11. And here is the scripture. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay the crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being."
Hi. Good morning. Oh, what a powerful scripture, isn't that? As we have a little view into what's happening in heaven. And you know, we're not divorced from that. We're a part of that, aren't we, today? As we come and we gather and we're together. We've joined not only the worship of heaven, but the worship of the saints around the entire world. Isn't that amazing to think about? It's not just us, it's not just a few of us here. But actually, the church worldwide is gathered today over a 24-hour span, and that's what we do. Possibly a billion, maybe more than a billion people gathering in the name of Christ and worshiping and honoring Him. It's just amazing. So, again, I want to thank you for being here and for coming and for inviting me, Pastor. It's an incredible honor, and I am just thrilled to be here. I'm a teacher by trade. You know, that's what I do. I'm a teacher, and so you know what teachers do. They have giant presentations. So you can see my presentation, and we'll click through it. And it's mostly to keep me on track. I teach a class. I told the group yesterday. I teach a class in university called Biblical Theology of Christian Worship. And so what happens is I start talking, and then 42 hours later, I stop. Now, we break it up. You know, we do break it up into different days. But, you know, if I don't have some notes, I'm going to be way too long, and you're going to be way too hungry. So we're just going to move on. You know, we're going to start, maybe you've never done this in a message before, but we're going to start with a game. I was trying to think of something different, sort of wake you up. So we're going to play a word association game. Have you ever played that game? So in other words, someone says a word, and then you say the first thing that comes to your mind. It's totally dangerous. It's a very dangerous game, but just play along. And if nothing else, humor me, because next week you'll be back to normalcy in the pulpit. Right? I mean, so we're going to have one week diversion. And so thanks for playing along. Anyway, okay, let me see. I say Toronto Blue, you say?
Jays.
Very good. All right. I say Justin, you say? I heard Trudeau and Bieber. That's what I heard. Okay, I say delicious, you say? Food? That was pretty generic. Come on, give me your favorite thing. I say delicious, you say? Hot dogs and chips. Okay, so we're going to need a junk food purging for the worship team for later so they can be more healthy. Okay, how are we doing? I say pastor, you say? Very good. Yeah, I gotta say that your pastor, and see, I'm gonna be off my notes now, but I gotta say, these pastors of yours are so delightful, and I honor you. I was so excited to hear about your 1983 or so start, and your 1989 move to this location. And you know what? And I was honored when I saw the pictures, the photos of the different anniversaries. And I know I'm really straying from my notes, but you know what? God is not finished with you. He is not finished. Your greatest days are not behind you. They're ahead of you. God is building His kingdom. And He's put you here in this community for that reason. And that's an amazing thing to think about. And it's a giant responsibility too, isn't it? It's amazing. So we're going to talk about worship today, and I hope that you'll listen along. We talked about this just a tiny bit yesterday in our time together, but I want you to think just really quickly about what you expected this morning. When you got up, you expected something. You expected, well, I'm not going to fill in the blanks for you. You expected to come to church. You expected certain people you're going to see. You expected certain things. And whatever you were expecting sort of drove your focus. So if you were wondering if so-and-so was going to be here, then when you came in the parking lot, you were looking for their car. Or you're looking for this. Many of you, when you got here and you saw me, your expectations changed. And you thought, oh, this is going to be different or weird or something. Right? So then we're focusing on what we're expecting to see. And then our focus drives our action. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday with the worship team, but I want you to think about this. You know, often I think I have a focus when I come, and my focus is quite, well, I'm probably like you. I'm quite Dave-centric. You know, I think about me. I'm a natural human being. I think about me. I think about what affects me and so on. So I've got my focus, but this gathering is not about me. It's not about you. Now, we're involved. We're here. But God has an absolutely incredible focus, and I'd like to just compare and contrast that a little bit. And if you find yourself getting, anxious or even angry at some of these, that'd be good. That means you're listening. Okay? And if you find yourself challenged, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Let's see what our challenge is. So, often, because I'm a musician, so I'm often thinking about the music. I'm often listening about the music. You know, as soon as we start a certain song today, some of you say, oh, that's a great song. And some of you say, oh, that's so old. Oh, that's not a hymn. Oh, that's a chorus. And so on. And we get really focused on music, don't we? I think that's my focus a lot. But the Lord has maybe a different focus. He's listening to our music. Sure, He knows if we play any wrong notes or not. But His focus is our heart. We talked about this yesterday. The Lord says, these people honor me with their lips. They say they're mine, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts sometimes are far from me. Their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote. I use the New Living Translation there. It's just a little easier to understand. But look that up in King James and other versions, and you'll get a full, broad picture of what this means. So sometimes my focus, again, is on what we're doing. Like what the songs we're singing and so on. And He's saying, what's the condition of your heart? Sometimes my focus is on the message. And depending on the message messenger, it might be really interesting. It might be really boring. It might be something, you know, sometimes when a passage is read, we think, oh, I heard that already. I've already heard that. I know that one. Well, no, God's focus, I think, is way more on His word. His word that He's sending. Wasn't your heart burned? Like when our sister here, when you read from Revelation, doesn't your heart burn? Your heart burns. I mean, this is the word, the living word of God. And God is saying, this is my word. This is my love letter to you. I am revealing my character to you. And sometimes our sermons are a little more current. Sometimes they're not so current. So, His focus is His word and what He's trying to say to us. Sometimes my focus is on those who are here. And I'm thinking about, well, who's here? Who's here today? I don't know if anyone has this in their experience, but if anyone here has an estranged child, maybe some words were said or some actions were done, or and maybe somebody went out the door and slammed the door. Pastor Wong and I were talking about how beautiful it is to sit down together and have a meal. And I think sometimes a mother and a father have a broken heart over an empty chair, don't we? I think the father is very focused on us, but he's also focused on who's not here. He's the 99, and I don't mean who's not a church attender. Like, that's not what I mean. I mean, who doesn't believe in me, says God? Who doesn't know my love? Who doesn't understand? You know, he's the 99 and one shepherd. Do you remember that story? I think it's one of the most compelling and beautiful stories in the Bible, where the shepherd said to 99, seriously, what if 99% of the people of Brampton knew Jesus? People would be flying here from around the world to see what we're doing. What are you doing to win all these people to Christ? Wouldn't they? That would be the highest success rate of any place in the history of the world. 99 found, only one lost. That's great. But the shepherd said, you know, that's not the way I think. He said, guys, I'm going to leave you by yourself, actually at your own peril. I'm going to leave you. Take care of each other. I'm going. Where are you going? I'm going to find him. The one that's lost, I'm going to seek and save the one lost. I'm sure there's a few people in the 99 and say, let him go. He's lazy, he's rebellious, he wouldn't keep up. Again, I ask you, is there any mother or father in this room that thinks that way about your children? No. No, the great love of the Father. We could stop the sermon now, actually. The great love of the Father that compels us. And so we are here enjoying his presence, this beautiful service. What a beautiful service, Pastor. Seriously, beautiful. But there are people within a 5-kilometer, 10-kilometer radius of us right now that are waking up drunk, having medicated last night. Waking up lonely, waking up heartbroken, waking up with no hope and no future. And we're singing, this is amazing grace. I better move on. But I hope that touches your heart. Sometimes my focus is our gathering, our little thing, what we're doing here. But I alluded to it a minute ago. You know, his focus is his church, his glorious church, his bride, his worldwide bride. This isn't just not a few little us. And sometimes in Canada, we feel like the absolute minority, don't we? And the way that things are going with our society, we feel like the oppressed. And it's going to get worse, probably. No. We're a part of a worldwide church. That ought to bring somebody hope. Sometimes my focus on all things temporal. You know, stuff that's going to burn, stuff that's doesn't going to work, stuff that's going to fade away. I've done 60 funerals, believe it or not, in the last 2 years. It's just something I've done. And I'm telling you, rich or poor, it doesn't matter at that moment, does it? All things temporal, they fade away, but all things eternal is his Father, is our Father's focus. He's saying, come. Maybe this is the part that'll get you upset. Sometimes my focus is on people I'm hoping to avoid because they hurt my feelings, or they shafted me in business, or something happened. You know our biggest testimony to the outside world, what God has said, is that we love one another. Well, guess what happens in families? And we're a family. So what happens in families is families have the biggest ability to hurt each other because we know each other the best. We're with each other all the time. We offend each other, and then we're mad, and then we come to church, and we used to sit together over there, but now we sit, you know, and so on. And we have our little tiffs and our little so on and so forth. His focus is his sorrow over our disunity. Maybe I shouldn't tell the story, but I tried to punch my little brother in the face one time. I was in a rage. I was a teenager. I was in a rage. I tried to punch him in the face. He's a dodgy sort of fella, so he moved, and I took my knuckles off. If you want to see after the service, I took my knuckles off on a table. You know, when I missed him. Here's why I told that story. I will never forget the look on my mother's face. Because she saw it. And that broke my heart. See? Put yourself in the mother. It breaks his heart. Sometimes my focus is my kingdom. The kingdom of Dave. That's called narcissism. And if you want to say, well, I've never been in that kingdom, you're not being truthful. You shouldn't lie. Of course, we all have self-centered thoughts, but his focus is his kingdom, true religion. Google that. What is true religion? Just Google it sometime. It'll take you to an amazing passage, right, Pastor? So before we move on, remember the word association game? I say worship. God says worshipers. That's what he says. That's his focus. His focus is on you. His focus is on me, on each of us. We talked in length about this story yesterday. I'm not going to go into it, but this was the story of the Jesus encountering the woman at the well. And she tried to distract him because she was nervous. So she tried to distract him and ask him about a religious question. And he said, well, actually, the hour is coming and now is here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father is seeking such people. Indeed, a time is coming now here. The Father is looking for people. That's what he's looking for. That's his focus. That's his modus operandi. He's not, you know, sitting back hoping that we're going to do the right song. Is he? He loves the table. He loves to sit with us. He wants us. He wants intimate love relationship with us. That's what he wants. He wants to give us love. And this will be for somebody. There's nothing you can do, right? There's nothing you can do to make him love you more. Nothing. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. We're all broken. And he just wants you to know him like he knows you. A worship definition. When we gather, we're with God, aren't we? Now, we'll talk about when we're not with God. Never. But we're with him and we respond appropriately. Allow us to read a passage from Isaiah. And this may be familiar to you. If this is familiar, I actually want you to, if you want, as I read it, you could even close your eyes and join Isaiah there. That might be even better, especially if you know this passage. If you know it, then it might be helpful to just listen. This is a fellow named Isaiah. He was a prophet, but then one day he was with God. I mean, he was with him. And then we'll watch how he responded. So he wrote this. He said, "In this year, the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. He was high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above it stood seraphim. Each of them had six wings. And with two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet. With two he flew, and one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, 'Woe is me, I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Well, then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it, and he said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and now your sin is purged.' Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for me? Who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am. Send me.' And he said, 'Go tell this people.'" I'm not going to spend too much time here, but you know, I've been struck with this passage about someone who, you know, was probably a pretty righteous fellow, a prophet of Israel. But when he got together with God, all of a sudden he realized, "I am a mess. I am undone. My whole family's undone. We are sinners. We've seen God, and we're going to die." And I think it's so beautiful and amazing. He didn't walk to an altar. Nothing happened. He didn't raise his hand when they sang, "Just as I am." He just said, "I am done, undone." And God had a solution and cleansed him immediately. Incredible. We sang a minute ago, "Make me new." Anybody want to be made new? Anyone? I confess. You know, the second part of that song, it was a little bit modern in the language, but it's a paraphrase of David's Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart." I confess, I'm in a mess. I need your righteousness, making me a clean heart. Wash away my selfish, narcissistic, self-centered stains, that I might now sing your praise, making me a clean heart. This is what's happening in heaven, and our sister read it for us. Day and night, they do not rest. They say, "Holy, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty." I think this is amazing. I wonder who these 24 elders are, and maybe the pastor can answer next week. But you know, they're pretty important, aren't they? 24 people that are sitting on thrones around the throne, and they got crowns on. Wouldn't you want to be one of them? Like, finally, you're getting some respect. Finally, you're getting the honor due to you. Except for when the Lamb comes in, how do they respond? They just realized, I cannot keep this crown on my head. This does not belong here. I cannot sit at this on this comfy chair. And they fall before him, and they throw their crowns, and they worship him. Now, what about me? As I say, "You are worthy, Lord, to receive all the glory from me, all the honor from me, all the power from me." I see some of you trying to write down some of my slides, and I'll, if you ask the pastor, he'll give you my email, and then I'll send it all to you, just by the way. I'd love to do that. God's goal is to have full-on, honest interaction with us. So in the few minutes that we have left, I'm just going to, maybe this would be sort of like a family talk. I know I'm not part of the family, but you've invited me into your family, so thank you. Maybe it'll just be sort of an instructional family talk. Are you ready? Are you nervous? I remember when my dad used to say, we're going to have a family talk. Oh, boy. I thought, well, maybe I hope I didn't smash up the car. Or anyways, well, it won't be that bad. You know, you have incredible leaders here, starting with your pastors, and I know there's others here, other pastors and ministers, other leadership. I looked at your church website. I know who serves here. You've got Sunday school teachers. You've got other people. You have a beautiful, warm-hearted group of worship leaders. And I reminded them yesterday, everyone that is in leadership is a worship leader. That's everyone is. So you're everybody. You've got passionate people within the pews that are worshiping God. Okay, so I want to talk about your leaders for a second. They do have a responsibility. Their responsibility is to help us know God. Help remind us what the Word says. To teach theology. We talked about this yesterday, and so I'm not going to spend too much time here. But that's their job. These songs that we sing should be theologically accurate, should be relevant to who God is. Not just relevant to our culture. You know, sure, we spice them up a little bit, or we make them a little more modern. We do this and that. We add the drums, we add the bass. But the content of what we're singing about better be about Him, about who He is, about His character. And that's the job of the leader. And I'm excited that the leadership here is doing that. I am. That's my sense. Okay, so the worshiper. So you are, all of us are worshipers, aren't we? Well, we have a responsibility too. We don't just come and say, well, okay, feed me, teach me. If I like this song, I'll really participate. If I like this speaker, I'll really listen. See, we've become sort of consumers a little bit, haven't we? And we like things just a certain way. But we have responsibilities. We have a responsibility to learn. So when the Word is opened every Sunday here, don't say, I heard that one already. Actually, His mercies are new every morning. Aren't you amazed when you open your Bible in the morning? Particularly to a passage that you've read 100 times? I have one of my best friends. Years ago, I asked him. He was in the ministry. He was a church pastor. And we were really good friends. And so I just said, you know, his name's Greg. I said, Greg, what did you read in your Bible today? And I was not trying to be condescending. I was asking him. He says, well, nothing. I said, okay, well, what'd you read in your Bible this week? I mean, let's just talk about it. He said, well, I didn't really read my Bible this week. And then he said, well, I did. I prepared a sermon. I said, but what about you? Like, what about you and Jesus and whatever? And you only say that to a good friend. Okay, let me fast forward, though. That was 35 years ago. My friend Greg is the biggest lover of the Word of any person I know on the planet. I remember about 6 months later going out for a lunch with Greg. And you know what? And now if you're a church person, if you're an initiated person, when I say John 3:16, you know what I mean. You've heard that one. For God so loved the world. And we could quote it. We could just quote it. I sat across the table with him, and the simplest scripture of a person who's been to church at that point in his life, 30 years, had been in the ministry for 6 or 8 years, I sat across from him, and he said, I have to tell you what I read this morning. And he opened his Bible, and he just began to read John 3:16 and cried. And he said, can you believe this? Isn't that beautiful? We can all learn. So let's bring a focus of expectation every week. and then we can respond. We can respond. So whatever we're going to talk about worship actions and then wrap it up for today. But whatever the worship actions are, wholeheartedly respond. Go for it. The goal is not singing. The goal is not jumping up and down. The goal is responding appropriately, however God has asked us to. So we're just going to close with this. You know, there's lots of things we can participate in worship. There are songs. I know for sure that the songs are chosen with care. They are. They're chosen with care. It's not haphazard, willy-nilly, top 40. No, they're chosen with care because they're trying to, our worship people are trying to facilitate your worship, our worship together. There's prayers. Sometimes we get into a pattern of just listening to a great prayer pray and thinking, wow, what a great prayer. You know what we're supposed to do? Pray along. Pray along. Say, yes, Lord. I love the scripture readings today. I can't see the fellow that gave us, back there, gave us our first scripture from 1 John. Incredible. Beautiful. Preaching is an act of worship as well. I love it when the preacher preaches and she helps me understand God's word. Giving is an act of worship as well. And we don't just give to put the lights on. Remember earlier, what is true religion? Look it up. Google it. And these aren't the only things, but we have sacraments. We have ordinances. When you come at 11, no, what time? 12:10? When you come at 12:10 to the Lord's table, this is not just a ritual. This is life. This is the family of God gathering at the table together and celebrating the grace of God. So I read your mission statement on your website. Here's point number one. I love it. Brampton Chinese Baptist Church exists to worship and glorify God in spirit and truth. Amazing. You know, God is spirit and you are spirit. Maybe the worship team could come up as I just close up here. We're going to sing a song together. God is spirit and you are spirit. He created you compatible to Him. So you can communicate to Him. Every person in the world can communicate to Him. But the second part is truth. And we bring truth, don't we? We come honestly. It's okay to say, God, I'm having a little struggle believing today. I'm having struggle in my life. I need your help. Honesty is a hallmark of a relationship, isn't it? So we come with truth, and we say, God, in truth, and we say, God, we want to know you, we want to worship you, and we want to make you known out there. So I'll tell you what, let's have a little key of G, and can I hear G, please? How great is our God? Let's